May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
The theme for Prisons Week this year is Stand in the Light. And I want to suggest this morning that that's a theme for all of us, not just for those who are actually in prison, as I hope will become clear. For those of you who don't know me, I work at HMP Send, just up the road, a women's prison, housing people who are convicted of everything from traffic offences to child neglect, to drugs, to violent murder. I could talk this morning at length about what chaplaincy does, about our hopes and our prayers, but instead I want to suggest that afterwards, if you'd like to, you pick up one of these leaflets from me. It's a Nazareth Way leaflet, which is produced by a local charity which was established to support local prison ministry, and it's got an overview within it of the sort of things that we do, what life in chaplaincy is like. So, alternatively, I could use this time to remind you of the realities of prison and why we should care. I could talk at length about the background of many of the women who end up in prison, the common trajectory of dysfunctional families, mental health issues, abuse, drugs, prostitution. Or indeed, I could talk about the grim realities of prison life. Mothers separated from their children, struggles with depression and self-harm, long hours locked alone in a cell from 4:45 in the evening at weekends through to 8:30 the next morning. Or I could pose the question on how on earth do you keep going each day when you know you're facing another 30 years in prison? But instead, I want to ask a different sort of question. When we get to heaven, or when the Lord returns and his kingdom is established in all its fullness, who do we imagine that we would be happy to share eternity with? Who do you imagine being there with you? And who do you rather hope won't be? Well, let's turn to our readings from this morning. The message from Isaiah was that in his day, no one calls for real justice. He says, justice is far from us and righteousness doesn't reach us. He started in the passage we heard by accusing his listeners. Your iniquities have created barriers between you and God, he says. But he quickly went on to say that no one is just, no one is righteous. And he identifies himself with his hearers as he says, we look for light, but all is darkness. Like the blind, he says, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like those who have no eyes. And then he cries out to God, our transgressions before you are many. Our sins testify against us. As a world, 2,800 years later or thereabouts, we're still in a mess. Our sins stand between us and God, and we need justice and salvation. The rest of that chapter in Isaiah makes it clear that salvation will depend on God himself. He will come as Redeemer, and his light will shine upon those who turn to him. So, today, whether we look at ourselves or whether we look at those in prison, our sin stands between us and God. Or it does until we stand in the light of God, acknowledging the reality of that sin that imprisons us, and accepting his loving forgiveness and freedom. And when we do stand in that light, we stand in our common need for grace, our sameness, not our differences. I think this is sometimes challenging. We might like to think, as we come to church each week, that we're doing okay, doing the best we can, trying to live how God wants us to. And we, I'm sure, can say, most of us, that we don't murder or abuse people or steal. We're not too bad, really, are we? But I'm sure there were people who felt like that in Isaiah's day, when he said, "Justice is far from us." We live in a world, as we all know, where starvation is a daily occurrence. In our own country, we might ask about justice for the young people who can't get work, or families struggling to put food on the table for their children. We might think of the homeless on the streets, or mental health sufferers who struggle to get the sort of support they really need. And this is our world, our collective responsibility. Our transgressions before you, O Lord, are many, and our sins testify against us. At the most fundamental level, we stand, I think, in God's view, alongside all those people that we don't really like, even all those people in prison. Some people commit sins that get them sent to prison. Some don't. Society, through its government, sensibly differentiates and says we must draw some legal lines in the sand, that some sins do deserve prison and some don't. Rules for the ordering of society, constraining what we do. But I say to myself, before God, sin is sin. And as we have known from the days of St. Augustine onwards, God hates the sin, but loves the sinners. That means he hates all sin and loves all sinners. So, somehow, I must get my head around the fact that as God looks at the mother who murdered her child, or the woman who has struggled all of her life with inappropriate sexual desires towards children, or the dealer who sold drugs to support her own habit, he loves them. And he looks at us and loves us too. He loves any of us who stand in his light, facing the reality of our sin and turning to him. And we stand before him equally prodigal sons and daughters, relying on the love and mercy of God now and for eternity. So, if I'm right, we will share eternity with some people that we might look upon today with repulsion. Murderers, thieves, even paedophiles. And when God came in Christ to redeem his people, he brought with him, I think, the same difficult message. When his listeners in Nazareth heard him proclaiming release for the captives and freedom for the oppressed, they expected a victorious rescue from the hated Roman forces of occupation. They don't realize that they aren't seeing properly, that they are the blind who look for light but are in the darkness. Like the blind, he says, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like those who have no eyes. So Jesus knows he needs to throw some uncomfortable, unacceptable light on things. He recognizes that those people in Nazareth expect that if he is the Messiah, he will bring a cure to his hometown. That's what the doctor cure yourself bit is all about. And that he will perform wonderful miracles like the here he's been doing in Capernaum. But no, what he has to say to them won't be acceptable. Because he is here to say, that Elijah brought an unending supply of food to a poor Gentile woman during the years of famine. Or worse still, Elisha, who brought healing from leprosy to Naaman the Syrian. Syria had been an oppressor of Israel. The present oppressor was Rome. The Messiah was supposed to come and destroy Israel's enemies, not minister to them. Jesus was flatly contradicting their expectation that God's blessings were for the people of Israel alone. For people, in other words, just like them. And their reaction is outrage. They want to kill the light of the world. They would rather live in their own comfortable version of darkness where God is just for them. Salvation around 2,000 years ago was for those who would accept Jesus. And 3 short years later, the risen Christ commanded his disciples to take his message to the ends of the earth. So today, I wonder, are we prepared to stand in the light of the same truth? In the light of God's love for the world and every sinner in it? If we are, we will somehow, by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, be brought to look on everyone with love rather than condemnation. We will love people we don't like, who maybe we even find repellent. We will help people who hurt us. We will look for the sort of justice that redeems sinners, not condemns them. We will celebrate Christian conversion in our prisons, not because it will turn someone into a person who's just like one of us, but because another human being is able to stand free in the light of God. And that means another party in heaven and another child of God sharing eternity. Dare I say, I wonder, that perhaps our ability to celebrate that, to celebrate when murderers and thieves and paedophiles turn to Christ and will share heaven with us, is a measure of whether we are truly standing in the light, truly understand the gospel, good news for all people. Perhaps our ability to love and pray for those in prison and for God's redeeming work among them and celebrate it is God's sort of line in the sand that reveals who has truly crossed over into his kingdom. I pray that this week you will pray for those in prison and for those of us who are working with them. Amen.